for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Wednesday evening, December the 25th, 2002. First service of the Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas.
Get your ways to the Lord. He will establish your thoughts. Many times you have opportunity to think a lot of different things. You know, if you follow your thoughts, that'll affect your emotions. So you must understand that Jesus said through the Apostle Paul, said, whatsoever things is honest and good and just and holy, pure, think on these things. The reason for that is because it's going to affect how you feel. And out of your heart comes the issues of life. The Bible said, guard your heart. Above all things, guard your heart, because from it are the issues of life. And as we face life, as we face situations, circumstances, I told the church a while back, I said, the storms that you're in now will get over, but there'll be another one. And then there'll be another one. And you'll go through times of calm, and then there'll be another storm. And you'll have all kinds of storms through life, but you're only going to have one God. Lots of different kind of storms, but just one God. And so we need to learn to hold to God's unchanging hand, to commit our ways to the Lord, because there's only one God. Like I say, there's a lot of circumstances that we'll face one after another. I tell the church all the time, I don't know what I'll face tomorrow, but I know what I'm going to do. And they say, well, how do you know what you're going to do if you don't know what you're going to face? I said, I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to serve the Lord. As for me, I'm going to serve the Lord. I've committed my ways to the Lord, and He establishes my thoughts. And therefore, people come along sometimes and say, well, you're just the same all the time. Well, I don't get exceedingly happy, and I don't get exceedingly sad. You know what I'm saying? Because what I'm happy over today, I'm liable to. How many times have you stood in a wedding and people were so happy, and 2 years later they were weeping and crying because there's a child involved now, and there was divorce taking place? What everybody was so happy about, now they're crying about. It's something, and I understand that happiness does not come from things. The true joy of the Lord does not come from circumstances fitting my need or things that I like and all of these things, but the true joy comes from the Lord. And, you know, like I say, circumstances, good and bad, comes and goes, don't they? Sometimes we just feel we're so blessed, but you wonder what happened to it 2 or 3 weeks later. You know, where it went, what happened. What did Job say? He said, the Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. What he's really saying is, don't set your affection on the things God gives you. You see, because if you do, then you're going to count them as your own instead of His, and then you're going to be unhappy if they go away. But like I say, we may have a lot of things, and we may give a lot of things, or some things may be taken away from us, but we'll always have God. And if He's the center of our joy, everything else has to fall in place, don't it? There's a brother from Indiana always keeps telling me, he says, Christ is Lord, everything else is just details. Praise the Lord, and I like that. Wonderful spirit of worship here tonight. The anointing of the Lord is a treasure. And we have people come to our assembly. People come and they visit the assembly, and as the anointing of the Lord begins to move and they begin to feel the presence of the Lord, people say, you don't know what you got here. Well, what we got is Jesus. And
You know, but it's so sad that there's so many places and so many areas, and religion has colored Jesus a different way than what he is. So often, I just have trouble believing that if we're a partaker of his divine nature, that the likeness of God won't show up. I mean, what does every parent do when a new child is born? They look for their likeness, don't they? They say, well, he looks like you, or no, he looks like... But they look for a family likeness. Isn't it strange that so many people so often can take the name of Jesus and we get ourselves in such messes? But God's mercy is so so great. I ministered a message. I'm just going to... I have lots to say, but I'm just going to... I'd rather say a little bit and say what God had me to say than just say something that I might say. I ministered a message a while back concerning David and Bathsheba and Saul and becoming king for the house of Israel, and showed how in the scriptures God called it sin, and it was a gross sin. And it should not have been. They rejected the unseen God for a king that they could see. The church world's still doing that today. Most people don't feel like Jesus is here until they see his physical body. They fell in love with a mental image of a physical body instead of spirit. And what you got to understand is the purpose Jesus come was to reacquaint us with spirit. To reunite us with... See, man had rejected the unseen God. And they got a king that they could see. And it was sin. And God said it was sin. And the prophet, matter of fact, he said, I'm going to show you how terrible this sin is. I'm paraphrasing a little bit. But he calls thunder and lightning and rain to take place during harvest time. Now, you understand, they didn't have the corner store down here to go to. Food for less. Or Homeland, or Safeway, or somewhere. When their crops was destroyed, they was in trouble. And he calls their crops to be destroyed, and out of that, the thing is here they are, they've sinned, and they repent. They said, we've sinned. And you know what God does? He lets them keep their mess and make something out of their mess. Now, if it had been me, I'd have said, okay, I accept your repentance. I'll be your king again. But no, he let them keep the king that he said was sin that they got. And he extended his mercy, and he said, now, if you and your king will obey me from henceforth, because they done got their king now, you've got a mess now. I was better than this, but now this is what you got. But if you will do what's right, I'll bless this. Well, you see that same thing with Bathsheba, don't you? And David. David had Uriah killed. The prophet come to him. You know the story. I'm not going to spend much time on it. But I want to show you how great God's mercy, when ours just is playing out, God's is just starting. God is awesome. You see, God is awesome. And his mercy endureth forever, and they're new every morning. And we pretty soon we get, you know, we draw the line. But what God done was the child. But I'm getting ahead of myself. The prophet come and he said this. He told him the story about a sheep, and David said, you see, now guilt was upon David. He wasn't repenting. But guilt was upon him because he had such a much harsher judgment than the law called for. You know, the law didn't call for death if you took another man's sheep. The law called for that sheep would be restored, what was it, twofold or maybe it's fourfold? I don't remember. But anyway, it was to be restored. In other words, you weren't supposed to kill a man because he stole a sheep. But David, after hearing this story, told the prophet, said, he's worthy of death. And then the prophet gave him a revelation and said, you're the man. You better be careful what kind of medicine you dish out to people. You may have to take it. You see, when I was 17, 18 year old, our pastor always said, you better put a little sweetener with that medicine because you'll all be the one opening your mouth to have to take it. You see, I've seen this happen many, many times over the years in counseling with people in marriage and things of this nature especially. And I've seen it happen in ministry over and over and over. People who is hard on people and have no mercy. And they pound somebody for failing. It ain't too long, seems like, that they're in the same mess. But see, Apostle Paul said it like this. When somebody falls, a brother falls, said, you that are spiritual, you restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself,
amen,
lest you also be tempted. I could fill this hand with ministry pastors that fell into the same sins that they was unforgiving to other people in. I'm talking about in the last 2 or 3 years. And so it's important. The Word of God is true. Like I say, you're going to have a lot of other circumstances, a lot of different circumstances, but we only got one God. And we'll never have another God. He's the only God there is. So what happened was, now David, the prophet said, you're the man. And David repented, but the prophet quickly said, but the Lord forgive you. Now, if in my wisdom, I'd have took that situation, I'd said, all right. Now, you get away from Bathsheba, you murdered her husband to get her, but before that you committed adultery. The whole thing's wrong. The root of it is off. The foundation is rotten. Now get away from her, and I'll forgive you. I want to show you how powerful God is, because this is known as a deliverance camp. Now I'm telling you something, it's not enough to just get delivered from the demons. There has to be an all-powerful God that can build on the mess we've got. And the mess we got ourselves into. David had got himself into a mess. Now, if it had been me, I'd have cleaned up the mess and Bathsheba went one way and David went another way. Huh? And I said, you're clear. But God in His sovereignty and in His wisdom, He took the mess that should not have been and brought forth Solomon, and brought forth the lineage of Jesus. That's mercy. That's mercy unthought of. If I would have been going to pick the Messiah to come, I would have brought him from some besides that sin that ought not have been. Hello. But God didn't say, okay, you got to get rid of her. You know, I mean, I had to deal with, I have to deal with these things a lot of times. And my goodness, sometimes they're such a maze, you don't know what to do. I mean, people's got themselves so bound up. It's like, you start walking there, you fall into a net of fishing line. And pretty soon, they ain't nothing free. And you don't know hardly where to start cutting. But Jesus, I'm finding out something. When you get somebody, it's not enough to get them free. And the Lord willing, I may teach some on this tomorrow night. But we have to break. It's not enough to get the burden off of someone's back. You got to break the yoke from off their neck. There's a lot of people that's getting forgiveness for sin and stuff like that, but they still got the want to on them. You know, they're sorry for the mess they're in, but they can't get rid of the want to. They really would like to get rid of the want to. I've been there where I'd tell the Lord, Lord, I don't want to do this. I don't want to want this. Anybody ever been there? I could get forgiveness for the failure, but I couldn't seem to get rid of the want to. And some things had to be broke off my life. I want you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. I want to talk about the law that everything is built on and everything proceeds from. The whole plan of God operates from this law. It may not seem like that's where I'm going, but I'll get there. And we'll cover two or three subjects while we're in the process of it, the Lord be willing. In Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us," is that past tense, "with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." You know, God provided the blessings first, and then He created us. He provided, if you go back in the book of Genesis, you'll see He created everything first, and then He created man, right? He provided the blessings first, and then he created us. Verse 4, it said, "According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love." See, He established the blessings before He chose us, before He created us. He established the things to take care of us. He established the things that He knew in His sovereignty. He knew that people was going to fall in love with the blessings. They was going to start fighting and killing and all of the different things and hating and striving for the blessings instead of the blessor. But He provided the blessings before He created the person to receive the blessing. In Psalms 91, we're going to be going to a few different scriptures here. And I want to try to hurry so I can get this on one tape. If Psalms 91, verse 1, it says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide." There's two things here. Dwelling is your part of it. He that dwelleth, that's your choice. "In the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow." What it's simply saying, if you start dwelling in the secret place, God will overshadow you. He will watch out for you. Now, the Lord spoke to me a long time ago, said if you're abiding in the shadow, you cast no shadow of your own. See, the problem is men and God, that men wants to add God to their life, but they want to cast a long shadow themselves. It's my ministry, it's my this, or it's my that, it's my home, it's my car, it's my money, it's my bank account, it's my land, it's my kids, it's my this. And the thing is, long as it's my, I'm casting my own shadow. Right? But if I abide in the shadow of the Most High, there is no shadow of mine. Well, you just try to get in the shadow of a building and see if you can cast a shadow. As long as you're abiding under the shadow of God, you'll cast not your own shadow. You won't have your own agenda. And in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21, Proverbs 19:21 makes a statement here. It said, "There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord." The counsel of the Lord. I'm gonna deal with purpose. First, I want to talk a little bit about purpose, but I want to talk about, see, you have a purpose first, and then you got a plan how to carry it out, how to bring it about. And so when we talk about the plan of God, the reason for the plan of God is to bring about God's purpose.
Amen.
You see? And so a lot of people, well, they think the plan is the purpose. The plan's not the purpose. It's how to get to the purpose. It's how to accomplish the purpose. And so God has a plan to implement and to bring about His purpose or His reason for man. But it said here, there's many devices in a man's heart, but the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. What it's really saying is God's going to get what He started after. Nothing's going to change God. Nothing's going to move God. The sin of Adam and Eve in the garden is not going to change God's plan. The church world preaches a whole different message than God's plan. See, that's the problem. Way over in glory wasn't ever in God's plan. You can't find it. It's not in the plan. That's man's implementation. That's some of their devices that they've added in, but the plan of God, see, I've said it right here a lot of times, earth is where God made man, and He said it was good and it's very good, and that's where He wanted him. You see? That's the plan. Now, I mean, that's part of the purpose, I should say. And actually, that's even part of the plan. God put man here to fulfill his purpose. You see? And man has never fulfilled God's purpose. All we've ever dealt with is sin. You just well say amen. That's the truth. It's the truth. It's all we've ever dealt with. Adam took three or four steps and stumbled and fell into sin, fell into death. God's purpose of His creation of sinlessness in His image and His likeness has never yet been seen. But He has a plan. He has a plan, and His plan will work, and it'll work for us if we'll work in His plan. The counsel of the Lord, it said, that'll stand. In other words, it don't make no difference what your ideal or my ideal is. That ain't going to move God one bit. I may be sincerely wrong. But all I don't, and you know what? You can get millions of people together to agree on something and it still won't change God. They'll just be wrong. And what we find in the Scriptures is most generally, it was the vast multitudes that had missed God. Only a few. You know what? The Messiah had been, he had come, had been birthed, had grown up, had been crucified, rose again, and went back into spirit, and most of the people never even knowed he'd happened. I mean, they knowed around Jerusalem that a man who was capable of doing great things and miracles and things like that, but most of them did not believe nor did not know that he was the Messiah. And such a great incident, you'd think God would have really just burned it in their mind. But you know what? Whether they believed it or not, didn't change the truth. And it's that way today, whether I believe it, whether you believe it, or whatever, we'll just be the lesser for it. We'll be the one that loses because God's truth, just like you talked about, it may not make a big wide path sometime, but God's truth is just going to march on. Amen. We are 2,000 years later, and the Jews still don't think the Messiah's come. But God's truth is truth. See? So what I'm saying is, it doesn't. The counsel of the Lord, that's all that's going to stand. I encourage you to take what you hear tonight and take it with this thought. I'll study it to see if it be so. That's fair, isn't it? I'll study it to see if it be so. I tell our church all the time, don't you believe what I say because I said it. You see, it's not good enough to know and to be able to parrot after somebody else because, well, Pastor so-and-so believes it this way, and, you know, so I believe it this way. No, you need to know, every one of us in here need to know the truth because it's truth, and you know that it's truth for you because you have studied it out, and until you can give it away, it ain't yours.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
Amen. See, I'm telling you something. I tell the church all the time, I said, I refuse to pastor a mediocre church, and I refuse to go to a mediocre church. I mean, I refuse to do it. I want somebody to hear and adhere, not just take a hold, not just sit and listen and say, oh, that was a wonderful message. It ain't wonderful at all if it don't move you into action when you leave. Because your emotions or my emotions, I've sat in church in services and heard a good word, and my goodness, I thought I was just so happy. What a marvelous word, and I couldn't even tell you what it was about the next day. See, I mean, now we've all been there, but the thing is we got to have something that'll do us some good, something that will give us life. And so, but he said the counsel of the Lord. I'm telling you something. Purpose is more important for you than plans. Before you make plans for your life, before you make plans, you know, for tomorrow, we need to consult God about His purpose. See, purpose is more important than plans. And like I say, and every purpose requires a plan. Hello? Every purpose requires a plan. And God's not interested in my plans or in your plans, but He wants our goal in life to be that we would make His plan our purpose. See? We need to get the heart of God. And what a lot of people don't understand, you know, if you're going to love one another like Jesus loved us, boy, that's a lot of passion. See, the only way you can do that is to have and to take on the heart of God. Literally, what it amounts to is you entwine yourself to the same purpose.
Amen.
You see, you give your life to the same purpose. I mean, otherwise, you're going to always be trying to love so-and-so that ain't treating you right. Right? You're going to be trying to believe. If you're trying to believe, you're not believing, see? I mean, you're trying. That's kind of like shooting a basketball goal and say, I'm trying to make it, but if I'm not making it, I'm trying. But you know what? You ain't saying I'm trying to make it when you're making it. You say, I'm making it. When we're believing, we're believing. When we're trying, we're trying. When we're loving, by God's love, it's without effort. You realize Jesus, He wasn't just trying to hold Himself into control and say, oh, God, I'm staying up here because I want to tear them up, but I'm trying to love them, Lord. See, it was not with effort. How many of you are trying to love somebody that's treated you wrong or hurt you or offended you in some way, and you're trying to love them? See, I've caught myself in that, and the Lord dealt with my heart about it that said, if you're trying to love them, you're not doing it. There's a different, what it amounts to is there's three different levels of love that you can love on in the Greek there, and you can love on an eros, and there's nothing wrong with eros in its place. God designed it. And you can love on filial love, Philadelphia love, brotherly love, and that's where most people's trying to love, but God wants us to love on God's love. And God's love doesn't don't even depend on you. It has nothing to do with you. You know that? For me to love you, here's the thing. Filial love is like this here. I love God because He first loved me. When I love you, see, most of us, we don't agape God. We filial God. You know that? The Bible said it like this. We love Him. Why? Because He done something for us first. That's filial love. That's you scratched my back. You saved me. Now I want to do something for you. And you know what God said? I want you to agape others like I did you. If you want to do something for me, well, see, you, what I'm saying, you change love on a different basis. Now it ain't on how you've treated me. It's on how God's treated me. Makes it easy. That'll set you free. I tell you, I was hooked up. I was like, you know how you can hang on a barbed wire or something, you can't get loose? Emotionally and trying to love people and things. And when the Lord gave me the revelation that and He changed the foundation of where I was trying to love people, how I was trying to treat people, God's got a purpose. And the thing is, the purpose of God is to manifest or to reveal or to see Himself in this dimension. Okay, now let's go on there quick. Like I said, it said the counsel of the Lord. That shall stand. That shall stand. The counsel, in other words, the counsel of the Lord is the purpose and the plan and the words that He spoke. That's the only way it's going to happen. That's the only way. There's my goodness, religion's got how many faces? The Christian religion has got many faces, many other ideas, many different ideas. It's been injected. What did Jesus say? He said, you've made void the Word of God through your vain traditions. I mean, they have, it's got many, but the counsel of the Lord, unless we find the path of God, we're not going to get the results of God. All right? It's lots of people, you know, they've got their own plan, their own purpose, or maybe they're trying to do God's purpose with their plan. They hang, you know, they read the wrong books, hang with the wrong people, go to the wrong places, watch the wrong television. Do you think that a child, our children, you think that our children can sit and watch some of these shows where they disrespect their dad or their mom and they're rebellious and stuff, hour upon hour and hour, and then they not start, that's not get into their spirit and not treat you that way? First thing you know, they think dad's acting like, or they think he's dumb and stupid and an idiot, and you wonder where they got it. They didn't get it from the Word of God. They didn't get it from church. Where'd they get it? Where did this action come from? Where did these things come from? Well, there's, like I say, if we want God's purpose, you're only going to get that by following His plan. And so we're after something here. As I said, purpose is more powerful than plans, and purpose precedes plans. We were not born to find a purpose in life. You know that? But we were born because of purpose. People say, well, why am I here? Because God had a purpose. God had a purpose, you see. And so we understand this, and I think I shared this last time I was here. When you have purpose, it gives you vision. It gives you vision. Vision is so much different than sight. I don't want to take much time on that, but when you have a vision is you see beyond the natural realm. When you have a vision, Jesus saw Lazarus sleeping, they saw him dead. They had sight, Jesus had vision. They said 200 penny pence is all we have to buy bread for 5,000. They had sight. Jesus had vision. You see, and so when you have a vision from God, you can say no to the devil. You can say no to people who's trying to pull you astray or whatever. You can say no with dignity to temptation. I mean, you can say no with honor because you have a vision, you see. It doesn't make no difference who it is that's trying to lead you off course. You can say no if you've got a vision. But if you've got sight, only sight, there's nothing wrong with sight, but sight has to line up with vision. You see, so, I want to get to where I'm trying to go. The whole plan of God to bring about purpose is based on one law. The whole plan. And it's based on the law of sowing and reaping. The whole plan of God. The whole plan of the kingdom, the whole plan of the universe, there's only one way to bring about purpose, and that's using the plan of sowing and reaping. So, because of that, even Jesus sowed. You know what he sowed? John chapter 12, verse 24. We want to read that right quick. John 12, 24, Jesus, he said it like this, except a corn of wheat would fall into the ground and die, what happens? It abides alone. You know what Jesus was saying? As much as God's purpose is and as great as it is, if I don't work the plan, I'll abide alone. The purpose will never be. You realize, budded, if it die, it bringeth forth. Well, you know what that much fruit is? It's the same thing that was sowed. If you want a God, if you want Jesus' kind of life, the God kind of life. See, God's purpose was that Jesus was the first among many brethren. See, what we see is in the church world today and what we see in our churches and in our lives, I'm telling you something, we're missing some key ingredients still yet, folks. We're just missing some key ingredients. A lot of people think it's just the time element. It's not just the time element. It never was the will of God for most of the things that the church world's going through and suffering through. It's never been the will of God. We're still missing some ingredients, and we're going to have to humble ourselves and hear God and allow God to speak to us. And I had a picture of it like this. When God adds something to me, I usually have to take something away. Now, here's why. Because I've already theoretically... I'm trying to think of the right word, how to say it. Doctrinally, I've already got my house built. And if God gives me anything else, it's kind of like, you know, I've got a board in there crossways. It may be sticking out somewhere. And when He shows me where I've got something in the way or something not built right, I've got to pull the nails out of that one and build it like the pattern is. And we've got some areas in our lives that I really feel like breaking the curses is one of the, to really break the curse off of people, I think is one of the keys that we may have a doctrine about it, but to learn how to absolutely do it is another thing. See, it's one thing to know that God wants to heal people and that the prayer of faith would save the sick, but how many knows how to do it? See, and so there's got to be more than just what we're laying a hold of right now, what we're seeing right now. Amen. And matter of fact, how many of you have heard this statement? I've preached this and I've made this statement many times.
the truth will make you free. That's not a true statement. That is a lie unless you precede that with a statement. Now, Jesus actually didn't finish the whole statement. He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But that's really not enough. Known truth will not make you free unless you apply it. I'll get into that maybe tomorrow night, the Lord willing. But there's some things that we got to lay hold of that God is dealing with our heart. But there's a plan, there's a purpose, and God has set some things in the earth. He set some things in the natural life. He set the blessings as a thermometer for our spiritual heat, our spiritual desire. He set the blessings. And what happens is when you see that He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings, let me tell you something, even the natural things come from spirit realm. You see, even all the natural laws that we call a natural law, they really are spirit laws because they come from God. And so when we begin to see something here, that this whole thing is based on a plan. And the only way that God's going to ever get us to purpose is for get somebody with a heart's desire to work the plan. And the plan has to be, like I say, the plan is sowing and reaping. It said, as a corn of wheat fall into the ground, except it do it and die, it abideth alone. What he's saying is, if I don't sow myself, the scripture said it like this. It said, God so loved the world, didn't it? That he gave. What? Let me say it like this. God so loved the world that He sowed. He operated the plan, which is the law of the universe, and that law will bring about purpose. Now, Matthew 13, I think, is where I want to go first. Show you another scripture here. Matthew chapter 13, verse 24. Another parable, this is Jesus speaking, said, He put He forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man which done what? I said, we want to get to purpose? God's got a purpose. And His purpose is what He started with. Like I said, He hasn't trashed His plan or His purpose. God ain't trashed anything that of the reason that He created earth, this ball of mud, and in the natural sense, and put man in it, God has never trashed that plan. Satan has not detoured him. See, the way most of the church world reads is if I had a piece of paper, I've given this example before. I put it in my pocket. I give this example before, but God has this real, real neat plan, and Satan comes along, and so God has to and just chunk it and come up with a new one. And I don't believe that. See, God's bigger than that. And like I say, what we're going to find out is that He told Adam to do what? And you'll find it over in the book of Revelation. And it said, and they shall, what is it, Revelation chapter 5, I believe it is. And He has made us under our God kings and priests, and we shall, what? Reign on the earth. And He said it in Genesis. He declared the ending from the beginning, folks. That's what the Bible says, isn't it? That's God. He declares the ending from the beginning. There ain't nothing slipped up on Him. There ain't nothing forced Him to change His mind, and it hadn't changed His plan. Now, He said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which soweth good seed. What is simply, what if He didn't say a man that had a good field. He didn't, what I'm saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man that soweth. You got to sow if you want to reap. God understands that principle. He gave because He wanted. He wanted a harvest. You see? So He gave. That even God Himself obeys that law. And so if we can say He will get what He started after, if we'll start working the plan of God, we will get what God was after too. For us. That's the beautiful part of this, see. And what most people is doing is they're laying hold by grabbing the blessings instead of the blessor. They're getting the ashes instead of the house. It's like burning the house down to get you ashes. That's what it's like. And what we realize, what we have done is become temporal minded. We're going to have to have a vision and see beyond even a few years, but see beyond what might be in my hands today. You know, but see why God gave it in my hands, why He put it in my hands, why I'm here. See, I taught this last time we was here on the stewards instead of owners. We become owners instead of stewards. That's what happened to Adam. He become an owner, and the only thing that God reserved for Himself, they wanted. See, an owner can reserve something for himself, but a steward, the master owns it all. Now, if the master chooses to give the steward and say, okay, I'm going to let you use all of this except this. Well, the steward wants to act like an owner and says, well, I'm going to take that too. Well, then we find out that God has not kept too many people around too many years. Why would He keep anyone around that don't bring increase to the kingdom? The purpose of us is that we might bring increase. The purpose He gives us, the blessings, is that we might fulfill the purpose. And if we don't fulfill the purpose, and we just abuse or use the blessings and heap them on ourselves instead of the purpose, what happens? We find out that we just die, don't we? And that which we abused goes to someone else. That which we misused goes to someone else. And so we're going to see here in Luke. Let's turn there to Luke chapter 6, verse 38. He said it like this. I said it's based on the principle of sowing and reaping. It says, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure pressed down and shaken together and running over shall men give unto your bosom. The principle here is sow and you'll reap. That's the principle. Sow and you'll reap. Now, in verse 39, it says, and he spake unto... No, that's the wrong one there. I'm sorry. It finishes out here. It says, for with the same measure, that's the one I wanted, that you met withal, it shall be measured to you again. You realize that most people don't have what they want. And I'm not talking about just natural. I'm talking about spiritual things. And you know what? If we don't have what we want, it's because we haven't sowed. Say, oh, well, I've got some of the Lord, but I ain't got near as much as I want. It's because we ain't sowed what we had. You know, if you consume, you can do three things. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. But you can do three things with seed. You can sow it. You can feed it to the stock. You know? Or you can eat it yourself. You can do three things, but I'll tell you something. If you eat all your seed or feed it all to something else instead of sowing it, pretty soon you ain't gonna have nothing, are you? But you know what? From one seed, my goodness, if people will keep sowing and keep sowing, first thing you know, you can feed the world from one seed. Think about that. That's the marvel of the plan of God. Now, how far? What is our limitations in God if that law works? And when we see what we've got, then what we see is we've not worked the plan. We've not worked the law of sowing and reaping. We call it's a plan of God. It's how God, what God designed to bring about purpose. And see, the thing is when we start seeing mighty people in God and nothing can stand before them, what we see is that people have been sowing and God is getting His purpose. Now He's starting to see Himself in action, in another realm, in another dimension, see. But the only way to get it, He said, the kingdom of heaven is like this man that sowed. Well, why would he sow? Because he wants to reap. That's the purpose. Why do you give? It shall be given to you, good measure, pressed down. In verse 36, it says, be ye therefore merciful. Matter of fact, you could back on up and read some other things there. It says, but love your enemies, do good to them, and do good. Lend, hoping for nothing. again, and your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. What does the Bible say? Blessed are the merciful, for what? Do you realize you always get more than you sow? You always get more than you sow, both good or bad. People say, well, I only did, my kids sometimes say, but Daddy, all I did was, I said, son, but now, and you explain to them, okay, you did this, and here's the result of this, and that because of this is this, now this is here, and the first thing you know, you got a mess of problems, that it's just better off to cut it off right here at the seed. See? Instead of having to, so many people's trying to mow the grass instead of kill the root. You know, and we've got to, unless you just enjoy, there's a lot of people that might just enjoy the work, but unless you just enjoy the same old thing, I tell you what, you know, we have some people in our church sometimes that seem like every week they come with the same problem. You get them delivered and they come back the next week, it's come back on them. And I think, my goodness, now what's going on here? They come in, they can't even hardly walk. When they come in, God heal them. They leave shouting the victory and feeling good and everything and call them Wednesday night. Oh, they're doing pretty good. But by Sunday, something's happened. You know, something's happened. Same old way. Well, I thought we got you healed. There's some things we're missing. See, and divine healing, miracles and signs is great. But you know what's better than that is divine health. I'm glad when I get healed, but it's better if I don't get sick. You see, I mean, there's while we're majoring on getting people healed, while we're majoring on deliverance, while we're majoring on miracles or whatever it would be we're majoring on, if we're not, it's better if we'll teach people how to live according to the plan. Otherwise, we're just perpetuating our work. You know, we just recycle. It's just the same thing over and over and over. You know, my desire is for people to get free and stay free and be free indeed. Amen. See? Made whole. Made whole. And then they can give that wholeness to someone else. See? All right. He said in verse 36, be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. You know what he's saying? You reap the harvest you sow. That's all he's saying. Because right after that, he said, give, and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down. What he's saying, if you sow, you reap. The whole plan is based on this, see? And you got to understand, you got to plant your seed before you can get your harvest. You have to plant your seed before you can get your harvest. And Without seed time, it's impossible, matter of fact, to get a harvest. Let's turn with me to John chapter 12. I think we just read that a minute ago, but I want to read it again right quick. John chapter 12, verse 22 again.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.